everyone. Mr. Shampoo here. Welcome to the Plastic EP Beatles Hour Show with our special guest, Donna Lauren.
We got Terry Crane with us today as a co-host. But let me tell you, it's not every day we get the VIP right. The woman that is embedded in pop culture forever in the USA. There's no bigger. She is America's sweetheart. She was a music, as I said, icon, signed to Capitol Records. She was on Shindig, the original show. She was on all the beach movies, right? Muscle Beach Party, one of my favorites, got to tell you. Bikini Beach, Pajama Party, Beach Blanket Bingo. To me, that's like boom, boom, that's great. And let me tell you, she's got one of the greatest podcasts on the net, Love's a Secret Weapon, and I'm a big fan, Terry. And as Donna knows, I follow everything she does because she's just fantastic now in 2022. How are you, Donna?
Oh, darling, Plastic, it's so kind of you and great to see you. You know, I wish I was down under with you. I congratulate your country for moving forward for the environment. Thank you.
No, thank you, Donna. We know that you've got a conscience for the world. You love the world. You love the environment. You love the people in the world. And I just, you know, I'm spellbound because people like you are so fantastic. They really care about the world. And that's what really matters to me. Like today, we're going to have fun. We want to entertain people. You're wearing a fabulous dress just for the show. And no one can see it. So I'm going to tell us what it is.
Yeah, I'll stand up a little bit so you can get a little of the detail. And this dress is from 1966, and I wore it for a promotional advertisement with Batman and Robin.
I mean, Batman and Robin was the biggest television show on the TV. Let me tell you, that was here in July 1966 in Melbourne, black and white. It was 1 week ahead of the Monkey Show. So you had the Batman on, and then after that you had the Monkees premiered here in Melbourne. 1966, I'm about 8 years old. Don't get me wrong, but I used to run home from school just to watch those two shows because it's like the golden age of television. You can't beat it. That's what makes you embedded in pop culture forever, Donna.
Well, that's amazing that you're choosing two shows that I was fortunate enough to be part of.
But also there's Gomer Pyle, right? And we know about Gomer Pyle where it goes, golly, what was that like?
Well, Jim Nabors, he was a true gentleman. Very, very kind actor. You know, he's very generous. He assisted me. One scene, I was looking out a window, and I was in my bedroom on the second story of this scene, and he was looking out the window as well. When I looked through the window, I came back and boop, hit my head, and I saw stars. He seemed to be there for me, and so the camera kept rolling, and nobody knew the difference.
What's it like working with Adam West and Burt Ward in real life on the set? That must have been like a blast. You know, the Joker's walking around, Catwoman's walking around. I mean, this is before its time. There was nothing like it on TV, Donna.
You'll see Plastic and Terry. You'll see the day that I'm wearing this very dress, that Adam West got a little bit cuddly and shy with me. And literally every day that I showed up to shoot on the set, he would greet me with a kiss on my lips. So that was the relationship. And then ironically, of course, you have Burt Ward posing for another promotional pictures called Robin's First Kiss, and he's holding his hands like an altar boy right where he might show a bit of a reaction.
Terry and I, we're blown away. I'm serious. What a fantastic figure you got. And you actually, how can I say, you stood up and actually showed us the dress. That's really great. Now, I've got to say, being the Dr. Pepper girl, and you were the only Dr. Pepper girl, you know how many hearts you broke and how many hearts in America you melted. And when you were singing the Beatles songs, like All My Loving on Shindig, I mean, Paul can sing it to the girls, but the guys had no one to sing it to. So this is where, again, you come into pop culture and it's unbelievable.
Close your eyes. And
singing Goldfinger, right? That's one of the best versions I've heard. I actually rate that as good as the original that came on the film. And also Shaken All Over. I mean, not only do you sing, but you put the dramatics into the singing. In your career, you've done everything. You've done more than anybody I know because everything has been like hit the high, hit the high, hit the high. It's amazing career, Terry.
When you look at the movies that you were in and all that, especially the beach movies and all that, it's always got, you got the crew that at the end, they end up at the hideout or the hangout or whatever it was. But if you look very closely at those things, there's a cup of Dr. Pepper sitting there. There is a bottle sitting on the shelf. There's Donna sipping one. Now I'm thinking product placement back then was awesome because did they have people that walked around that literally would set those up for you or how did that work?
Here's the scoop. The president of the advertising agency for Dr. Pepper at the time was also a screenplay writer. And he co-wrote Muscle Beach Party, where Dr. Pepper Company got involved in sponsoring the movie. So they brought me in initially as a teenager, as their spokesperson, to broaden their base of distribution coast to coast, because the film would be distributed from New York to California and everywhere in between, and then it would be shown all over the world. So I show up, and they put me in that, I think it's called Big Drags, whatever, cafe, and Don Rickles. And they plunked the bottle in front of me. Now, at all times, there was a Dr. Pepper representative there from the headquarters of the company, always making sure that I, as their representative, was doing their product justice. Okay. And of course, then I was 16 years old, so I needed a chaperone. And it was my adopted father who was my chaperone. My manager. Then the musical director, Al Sims, decided to listen to some of my Dr. Pepper commercials. And when he knew that I could sing, he introduced me to Dick Dale. And that's how the duet came about. Now, there's one other aspect to that duet, because Brian Wilson co-wrote the song, took it in the studio, thinking that the Beach Boys would perform it for the film. The Beach Boys would be in it. Stevie Wonder's would be in the film. Yeah. So there would be that aspect, you know, not just the kind of Buster Keaton comedian, you know, slapstick comedy, and then some of the authentic movie stars of a bygone era. And, you know, I mean, this whole plethora of Hollywood, right? So then Dick Dale invited me to his house, and we were staying outside because he had cages stacked up by the pool with his very large cats, tigers, lions. And then, you know, and I'm kind of intimidated by that, and also kind of my heart hurt for them being caged, you know. Then I look over to the pool and there's a dolphin in the pool. And that's where we rehearsed the Muscle Beach. So Brian Wilson recorded the track and you can hear his voice in the background. But then it was decided that Dick Dale would be featured. And suddenly I was put into the mix. So that's the story of the duet.
Everybody do it now. Move a little muscle now. Everybody kick the sand. Come on now. Just like a muscle man.
That's a great story. You know, if you take that part Because I watched it the other day and I slowed it. I stopped. I rerun. I kept watching it slow. I thought, well, there's a Dr. Pepper bottle there. There's a cup there. So they did very good on their job back then about product placement all around everywhere. It was pretty cool.
And then, of course, Dick Clark got involved. And a lot of his tours and his shows were sponsored by Dr. Pepper as well. Okay. And so I worked with him very closely, doing all kinds of events and even some commercials.
Now, Don, I've got to ask you three of your greatest Beatles songs, 1, 2, 3.
Well, when I was traveling for Dr. Pepper and I would sing at their, you know, events, I would always sing Can't Buy Me Love. And so that's one. And of course, I love Yesterday. And I also love Michelle.
Michelle, my belle. We're going to play those three songs for you now, Donna.
Can't buy me love. Makes you feel alright. I'll get you anything, my friend, if it makes you feel alright. Cause I don't care too much for money, but money can buy me love. I'll give you all I've got to give if you say you love me too. I may not have a lot to give, but what I got, I'll give to you. I don't care too much for money, but money can buy me love. Satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love. Just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love. Now buy me love. Love. Buy me love.
Yesterday all my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Suddenly, I'm not half the man I used to be. There's a shadow hanging over me. Oh, yesterday came suddenly. Why she had to go, I don't know, she wouldn't say. I said something wrong, now I long for yesterday. Yesterday, love was such an easy game to play. I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Why she had to go, I don't know, she wouldn't say. I said something wrong, now I long for yesterday. Love was such an easy game to play. I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday.
This when I hear Richie Valens singing Donna, oh Donna, every time I hear it my mind just goes thinking straight of you. It's like it's automatic, but you're the most famous Donna that I know, and straight away my mind goes to you. Did anybody in your life ever tell you that Richie Valens song reminds them of you?
Sometimes, yes, I would say so, but not as emphatically as you do.
Well, I tell you what we're going to do, Donna, we're going to play that song for you right now.
Oh, Donna, oh, Donna, I had a girl, Donna was her name. Said she left me, I'd never been the same. But I love my girl, Donna, where can you be?
We get the funniest looks from everyone we meet.
Hey, hey, we're the monkeys, and people say we monkey around, but we're too busy singing to put anybody down.
We go wherever we want to, do what we like to do. We don't have time to get restless, there's always something new.
Monkeys, and people say we monkey around, but we're too busy singing to put anybody down. We're just trying to be friendly, come and watch us sing and play. We're the young generation, and we've got something to say. Oh.
Working with the monkeys on the TV show, I mean, what an experience at that particular time, right? Because that show was huge, and they were, as I said, was the first time that a TV show had the backing of a film company and a record company combined to have the biggest promotion for a band at that time, and the monkeys actually used their real names, which is unheard of. And in the first year, I believe their merchandise brought in $20 million. So to be on that show, as I said, they don't look anything like the Beatles. I've got to say that. They don't sound like the Beatles. They have the American sound. They had the Wrecking Crew behind them on the first early songs like Last Train to Clarksville, which went to number one before the TV show. Then they had I'm Not Your Stepping Stone. And the big song, as you know, because it's my favorite and your favorite, I'm a Believer, which went to number one, the only song to go to number one in the US and the UK simultaneously and have 1,100,000 copies pre-ordered. Is that unbelievable, Donna?
Yeah, that song is one of my favorites, absolutely. And I love the way Mickey sings it.
I thought love was only true in fairy tales, then for someone else, but not for me. Love was out to get me, that's the way it seemed. Disappointment haunted all my dreams. Then I saw her face, now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind. What's the use in trying when all you get is pain? When I needed sunshine, I got rain. Oh, then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer, not a trace of doubt in my mind. I'm in love. I'm a believer, I couldn't leave her if I tried. Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer, not a trace of doubt.
So I met Davey on Shindig originally, wearing kind of a striped blazer and a straw hat, and holding a cane. He was doing kind of a song and dance man kind of routine on Shindig. And then lo and behold, you know, probably a year or maybe a little bit longer than that, we end up being betrothed on the show by the Sheik.
Yeah, that's right.
So my little story, it's a side note with Davey. For lunch break, he followed me out and was starting to kind of whisper sweet nothings. And at the time, I had just turned 19. And I had just learned how to drive. And I also got a brand new little red Corvette convertible. And I drove it unchaperoned to to the set. Although my adopted father followed me there because he was also my photographer. So he had to document everything.
Dream girl, I love you.
I love you.
Little angel, can't you see I do?
See I do.
Dream girl, make my dreams come true. Tell me that you love me too. Dream girl, with your pretty eyes. Little angel, how they hypnotize. Dream girl, though it may take time, I'm gonna make you mine. I'm gonna build my
on the Monkey set. I mean, this is why I say you hit the mark every time in your career, and it's an unbelievable thing, because you go from Shindig to Batman, then you go to the Monkees. You're on the peak all the time in your career. It's just an unbelievable career, Terry.
I know.
So in this country, I don't know if you can relate. I think it's pervasive all over the planet. But, you know, there was a serious racial problem here and still is, and, you know, still dealing with it. But at the time when I started working for Dr. Pepper, gave me the education of my life, because even though when I signed my contract that at 16 I dropped out of my high school and enrolled in a professional school, which I had to kind of mail in as I traveled, didn't really give me that experience. But my real education was going into the southern and midwestern part of this country, where especially in the South, where the segregation was so intense. From 1963 to 1968, that's where I spent a great deal of time and had a hands-on experience of what it felt like as, you know, as a little white girl from LA, you know, originally Boston, but still, you know, having, you know, these heart-wrenching experiences of going to a bathroom or a drinking fountain or even walking down a road. And the segregation was so intense. So, you know, I saw that. But the antithesis of that was I also had an opportunity to make eye contact with so many people. And coming from where I grew up gave me the opportunity to show them a different side, you know, that it didn't have to be that way. I hope that left an impression, because so many people now, you know, have progressed, even though we're still struggling with the same old issue.
Now, I just want to tell you, Terry, as you know, the Beatles, and they made sure in their contract that they play to all races. They said they wouldn't put up with that. They just play to everybody, no matter who's in the audience, which was a great thing for the Beatles.
In 1964, when the Beatles hit, and they were hot, and you've got Beatles memorabilia everywhere on the shelves. They're going nuts with the dolls, the jewelry, the games, and everything like that. I want to know if Donna Lauren ever paused for a second and bought her own some Beatles memorabilia, or what did you have from that time around there?
So, Terry, thank you for that question. I did. You hit the mark. I did love Sgt. Pepper. And so that album cover just drew me in. I ended up supplementing Sgt. Pepper for Dr. Pepper, and I incorporated that into my public appearances for Dr. Pepper. So that was one thing. And then I had a friend who was a promotion man, and he went to the Hollywood Bowl in 1964, mm-hmm. when the Beatles performed. And at the time, I'm sure I was not in town. But anyway, when I saw him the next time, he gave me the Beatles autographs. So I do have that little bit of memorabilia. And I found out technically that only one of the Beatles actually signed the card. Have you heard about that?
Well, yeah.
So John Lennon actually signed the card, and the others were signed by the fellow that, you know, would do it for them.
Some of the stories, John could sign his own name and sign the other three the way they looked also. They all had this unique ability to do that. But yes, everybody else in their entourage could all sign theirs. But it's great. You've got the one.
So then I just thought it would be interesting for you to know that I was able to attend the last waltz of the band, mm-hmm. and of course Dylan was there, but so was Ringo. And I recall sharing a seat with my first husband, and only one seat. It was a folding chair that, you know, had enough room for half and half, you know. So, and we were like right under the stage, and here comes Ringo bending down, not wanting to disturb anyone, wearing this kind of deep purple velvet blazer. And so I thought that would be fun for you to know that I brushed shoulders with him. And then in the 80s, now this is kind of obscure, because George had a, what do you call it? He went into comatose, and I was going to the acupuncture doctor who revived him. And they had a very, very strong, close relationship after that. So on one occasion, George donated some money to support this doctor as his business was building, and contributed to a clinic that was on a grand scale. And a lot of celebrities were starting to go for acupuncture at that time. You know, it was kind of new in the Western world. But once I tried it, you know, I'm a sucker. for life. I love acupuncture by a really, really good practitioner. But anyway, so I'm outside of this new building and there's George. And he's standing all alone and he's got his foot up on the wall and he's looking around like a little, you know, a little skeptical, like who, you know, I don't recall exactly when things happened to him. And you could see in his eyes that he was guarded. And even though he was polite and very soft and very kind, just being alone, that was kind of strange because there were a lot of people there celebrating the opening of this clinic. But anyway, I had a chance to, you know, be nose to nose with George Harris.
I got to ask, who's your favorite Beatle?
In 64, I have to say Paul.
Did you like I Saw Her Standing There? Was that one of your favorite songs?
Oh, of course. But I Want to Hold Your Hand. I mean, that just blew me away. Oh, and I do have a kind of a, what do you say, a secondhand story about Paul. Because my son is a musician who got to play on one of Paul's albums in 2004. So by osmosis, we got, you know, the family we introduced him, sort of. But I know that my son loved the experience. I was with him when he got a call that he was invited to a party and he dropped everything. You know, he's like, I'm leaving. It's like, bye, see you later. Got to go to Paul.
Okay, Donna, we're going to play for you right now. I Want to Hold Your Hand, and I Saw Her Standing There.
I think you'll understand when I say that something. I wanna hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand. Oh, please say to me, let me be your man. And please say to me, you let me hold your hand. Now let me hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand. And when I touch you, I feel happy inside. It's such a feeling that my love. When I say that something, I want to hold your hand. I want to hold your hand. I want to hold your hand. And when I touch you, I feel happy inside. It's such a feeling that my love.
Now, Don, I want to ask you now, with the podcast, and you do the podcast with Dr. Adam Guarachi, and it's fantastic, the guests that you have on, the fans that you have on, the stories that you tell. And, I mean, it's just fantastic. You're going from strength to strength on the net, and it's always interesting, your shows and your guests.
Thank you so much, Plastic. Well, you know, so many people during the beginning of the pandemic kind of decided, well, what am I going to do with my creative juices? You know, it's like we're kind of in lockdown, and I don't want to go into a fear space. You know, I want to stay in my creative space. So Dr. Adam and I had worked on a memoir of mine for about 5 years, and it was in manuscript form. And even though I had a book published previously, which Terry has, I decided, well, maybe I should just read my memoir. And with Dr. Adam, who's a PhD in psychology, and a very, very dear friend that I don't have to hold back, you know, I can be completely honest. And he always helped me explain things about my life that I didn't understand so I could write about it. And he agreed to do this podcast with me. He's in Adelaide. I was in Palm Springs at the time when we started. Now I'm in Arizona in this little town called Bisbee, which is, oh my goodness, I have another Beatles story. Wait a minute. Oh, so this little town of 5,000 people is this relic of kind of like turn of the century, and it's all land, it's all, what do you call it, historic. All of the buildings are classified historic from around 1880 going forward. And no one is allowed to change the facade of a building, but you can go in and renovate. So people like Paul McCartney and Eric Clapton have been seen roaming around our little town of Bisbee because we love vinyl. And there are so many stores here that are antique stores that keep a section of vinyl. Another aspect of your Beatle livelihood, you know, your Beatle existence, you know. Who besides the classics, Beethoven, Mozart, Bach, the classics, who will be played in 300 years? Who will be played from this era?
The Beatles.
That's truly iconic.
When the Beatles played Shindig, I need to know, was that done in the UK and then they got that film and placed it into the show? Or did the Beatles actually play live in the States, Shindig?
Not in the States. What happened is, I believe that was the fourth Shindig show. And because the producer, Jack Good, was English and had a very strong relationship with Brian Epstein, he took the show to London and had the Beatles star in Shindig. And what he told me is that they went back in the studio and re-recorded their tracks to sing live too. So that was only because of Jack Good and his love of the American music that created the English, you know, British invasion. And so they decided to take some of the Shindig cast. But I probably was traveling for Dr. Pepper or, you know, otherwise occupied, or I would have gone. I would have loved to have been there.
The swinging 60s. Now, I've got to say, with the Beatles, Jack Good actually introduces the Beatles are coming, and we're going to hear that now.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm a humble man named Jack Good. I'm also the producer of Shindig. I thought it might amuse you to know that the Beatles are coming!
Now, Donna, I got to say, being signed to Capitol Records, being in the Beach Movies, and being there when pop culture is actually happening, and of course, you wouldn't realize it. When you're on the set singing the songs on the Beach Movies, And I mean, it's like, all I can say is you look back at that golden age. It is. It's like pop culture forever. Every Saturday here in Australia, people used to watch the beach movies. We're trying to find our culture in the 60s. So when we're watching American TV, we got the beaches. You know, we got the bikinis. We got the girls. But we don't have that identity. So when we're watching the beach movies, we're going, hey, this is cool. We should be at the beach. We should be singing and dancing on the sand. You know, that should be our scene. And this is why everything came into Australian culture growing up. And you're thinking, gee, the Americans, they're really cool.
1964, there are over 300 Beatle novelty songs written and released. I mean, you talk about Beatles Flying Saucer, Ringo, I Want You for Christmas, I Want to Marry a Beatle, all of this stuff. Which, and they're all awesome. They're so bad, they're great. So what I wonder is, Donna, how did you avoid not having to do a Beatle novelty song at that time? Because that was the hottest thing to do, it seemed like.
Oh, well, I guess someone wasn't wise enough to point me in that direction.
Any of your friends or anybody that...
Hey, Terry, besides Cher. Yeah, she's her friend, and she did a Beatles novelty song. Which one was it again?
Ringo, I Love You. But when that's when she was Bonnie Jo Mason, though.
Wait a minute. Who are you talking about now?
Cher.
Oh, really? Yeah. Bonnie Jo Mason.
Cher, before she was Cher, she was Bonnie Jo Mason.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's a new one.
What's it called again, Terry?
Ringo, I Love You.
I'm going to play it now for Donna.
Produced by Phil Spector.
Oh.
You know I love you, yeah. More than anything in this world, I want to be your only girl. Please let me hold you.
Plastic EP and Terry Crane, we wish to thank so much Donna Lauren for being on the Plastic EP Beatles Hour. What a fantastic VIP American icon we have on today. And I just want to say from the bottom of my heart and Terry's, we love you. And we want everybody to go to your website, which is www.donnalauren.com, and check out your fantastic book, right, which is Pop 60s. You've got autographed photos there. You've got merchandise. You've got so much stuff. What's happening now at the moment? What's the latest things you can tell all your fans out there?
So, you know, my mantra is love's a secret weapon.
Like the podcast.
Again, I want to reiterate, I am so proud of your country for making the choice of going into the direction of helping to save the planet. So thank you. And then I also want to thank both of you men for being open-hearted and loving beings. And then the finale for my visit with you is that when you talked about Pet Sounds and the Beach Boys, and one of their songs is God Only Knows, I too have a song called God Only Knows. And my dear husband said, I think we should release it as a single. It's a very... kind of environmental conscious song as well, by that same name, but it's a very different tune. By me. Written by me. I sang the backgrounds. I played the keyboards, the synthesizer, and voila. Enjoy.